Hey, this is Cooper Smith. I'm one of the student worship pastors at Eastview, and I'm honored to welcome you to our Eastview Students High School podcast. We hope this is encouraging, inspiring, and helpful for you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy the message.
It's not a pleasant sound, is it? And to think about, that's probably joined with screams and immense amount of pain. And where that took place was the place called Golgotha, which was kind of up on the hill. The whole city of Jerusalem could kind of hear it. Sound kind of echoed around the area. And so you could just walk out your door and you could probably hear that. And you could probably hear the yelling. You could probably just look out your door and look straight up at the hill and see what's happening. And you'd see a crowd that was probably silent. You'd see Roman soldiers laughing. And then you'd hear this sound. This sound changes everything. If you guys have your Bibles, open up to Mark chapter 15, starting in verse 21. If you guys were here with us last week, we started this path towards the cross, and we started the process of crucifixion, and we talked about what Cooper just shared with us, the beating that Jesus had taken prior to this moment. And prior to the moment where these nails were going to be driven into the wrists and to the feet of Jesus, Jesus took part in the process of flogging. He had a crown of thorns shoved onto his head. He was beaten with a wooden staff, spit on, and mocked. And if you were here with us, I showed you this, what this whip would have looked like that Jesus was flogged with. And this whip right here, this weapon represents the brutal punishment that your Savior, that my Savior had to go through. To be whipped over and over and over is a punishment because of my sin. And not just my sin, but the evil you see throughout the generations of the world. Think about our world. Think about the brokenness. Think about all the evil that happens. That is what was on Jesus laid. And I know some of you, again, may wrestle with the, my goodness, why such a brutal punishment? I'm not that bad of a person, but you have to remember that we underestimate sometimes just how bad our sin is. And what we look at is we look at this punishment and we see this and we see, okay, if it's this brutal, then it has to mean something. Something had to happen here. Something this bad had to happen in order to rescue me, to rescue you, to rescue the entire world from the evil and the destruction and the sin and the mess. But guys, more than the picture of this whip, more than the nail being driven through this wood, this reveals a love like any other. Anything I have ever heard in my lifetime. No one has ever told me about a love that even compares to the one we're talking about today. And I would assume for those of you, if you've heard this story, this is a love like you've never heard before either. That my God, that the creator of the world would send his son, Jesus, to go through this for me. That's what we're talking about today. Because we're talking about the fact that these wounds that Jesus is going to go through, these wounds are what is going to heal me. These wounds are going to make me clean. These wounds are going to give me a promise in heaven forever. But it's not just enough, guys. It's not just enough to look at this whip and to learn about the beating. You see, the beating wasn't enough because of what I've done. No, the sin had to be done with. The sin is not done with because of this. The punishment because of sin is what happens here. But the sin is not done yet, which is why the crucifixion keeps going. It had to be nailed to a cross. Your sin, my sin, had to be nailed to a cross. This sin had to be done with. We have to be done with this sin. We have to get rid of this evil. And so it had to be nailed to a cross, and Jesus, he had to be the one to take it with him. To take your sin, to take my sin, to take the world's sin and the evil with him to the cross. So Mark chapter 15, starting in verse 21, I'm going to read this passage, and then after I'm done reading, I'm just going to pause for a little bit, and I just want you to sit with it for just a second, then I'll pray and we'll get into the rest of the sermon, okay? Mark 15, starting in verse 21, the crucifixion. A passerby named Simon, who was from Cyrene, was coming in from the countryside just then, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. Simon was the father of Alexander and Rufus, and they brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. They offered him wine drugged with myrrh, but he refused it. Then the soldiers nailed him to the cross. They divided his clothes and threw dice to decide who would get each piece. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. And a sign announced the charge against him. It read, "The King of the Jews." Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. The people passing by shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. "Ha! Look at you now!" they yelled at him. "You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well then, save yourself! Come down from the cross!" The leading priests and teachers of religious law, they also mocked Jesus. "He saved others," they scoffed, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross so we can see it and believe him." Even the men who were crucified with Jesus ridiculed him. God, I pray for just your word to preach today. God, I pray that everyone in here would see a love like any other. That my God would do this for me. That my God would love me this much to go through this kind of pain for me. God, this story changed everything for me, and I pray today that this story changes everything for every student in this room, whether it's their first time here, whether it's they've been coming for a while. I pray this story is fresh and brand new, and it changes us today. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to walk through the process of Roman crucifixion. This is a punishment that was given out by the Romans, and crucifixion began with the criminal having to carry his own cross, okay? And they would have to carry this piece of the cross. So think this horizontal piece, this vertical piece here would have already been up at the place called Golgotha, but the criminal would be required to carry his own part of the cross. And when they carried it there, they were usually naked. So Jesus was probably naked. He was probably walking 1 to 2 miles, absolutely humiliated. And this is what would have been required. And they had this part of the cross. They would put it over the nape of the neck, and then the arms outstretched like this, and then they'd tie ropes around so you wouldn't drop it. It'd just be there. And they'd walk this to the place where they're going to die. And this piece of the cross, the cross in total usually weighed around 300 pounds. Okay, this piece itself would have weighed around 125 pounds up to that. Okay, for you lifters in here, you squatters, okay, basically like your barbell and two 45-pound plates. I know it's a little more, but it's about that. Two 45-pound plates on each side barbell, you're carrying that across for 1 to 2 miles. Oh, and Don't forget, that's just after you've been flogged with deep gashes all across your back, and you're pretty much on the verge of death. We know how brutal this process of flogging was with Jesus, because we see in this story, Jesus, he can't even carry this thing. He can't do it. He's too weak. So they get this guy, Simon, who's just around, and they're like, Simon, you carry it for him. Because Jesus, he's too weak to carry his own cross. And when they get to the crucifixion site, Jesus, if you see here, he was offered this drink. They offered him wine drugged with myrrh. Verse 23, you see that there. Right? And this was actually required by law to be provided for anyone that was crucified, because it worked as kind of a mild pain reliever. All right? Probably because of what they were about to go through here in just a second. But Jesus, he refused it. I don't know why he refused this drink, probably because it tasted awful. I mean, this would have been like drinking vinegar, okay? It would have been awful. So Jesus refused it. And then as part of the Roman crucifixion, they would take three nails, all right, about the size of a railroad spike. So this is what I have here. Would have been about this, 5 to 7 inches in length. All right, they would have taken three nails, and what they would do is they'd lie the person down on their back and outstretch their arms across this horizontal piece. All right, this wouldn't have been attached to the vertical piece yet. All right, they would lay them down across their back, across that, and they'd drive these nails first into the wrists of the outstretched arms. Okay, they go one arm, then the next, and then once the victim was attached to this, they would then lift them onto this, and they'd attach them to the vertical piece. Okay, and then once they were on the vertical piece, they would take the third nail, and then they'd drive it through both feet. Okay, now some may say, wait a second, I've always heard that Jesus was nailed through the hands, right? What do you mean he was driven through the wrists? Well, most likely it was driven through the wrists, because then the bones in the wrists would be able to support the body better. Okay, but also back during this time, the wrist was considered the part of the hand. So this isn't counterintuitive here. All right, it would have been still considered the hand if it was driven through the wrist. And then sometimes, if you were crucified, the Romans would nail a sign up above explaining the crime that you committed. In this case, they had a sign above Jesus that said, "The King of the Jews." That was his crime. The King of the Jews. And Cooper kind of got at it, but the process of crucifixion was really about breathing. Okay, so once you got nailed to the cross, remember, Roman crucifixion was meant to be the most brutal possible way to kill someone. They want it to be long. They want it to be the most painful. It was awful. It was only reserved for the worst criminals. But the process worked was as the victim was nailed to the cross and hanging there, the problem would be you can't expand the lungs to breathe. And so what the victim would have to do is they'd have to push up on the nails in order to catch a breath. Right? So usually in the process of crucifixion, most people died from suffocation. Too tired, too painful, can't lift yourself up anymore. And you would die. Right, and the process of crucifixion would last anywhere from 3 to 4 hours to 3 to 4 days. Usually depending on how bad the flogging was before. If the flogging was really bad and they were already on the point of death, then usually it would go a little quicker. And you see here that Jesus, he was crucified at 9 o'clock in the morning. 9 o'clock in the morning, Jesus was crucified. And so here hangs Jesus. He's undergoing this Roman punishment of crucifixion reserved only for the worst criminals. And he's enduring this. And this is the Savior of the world. He's the Son of God. He's never sinned. And he's being nailed to the cross. This sound, okay, I wanted to do this today, not just because it engages your senses a little bit, and I want you to just hear it, but I really want you to hear it. And I want you to kind of feel it. Because I think about this, and I was thinking this week, I'm like, I need to hear this. Because remember, so I think so often we hear Jesus died on the cross for me, and it becomes just white noise. Yeah, I get it. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus saved me from my sins. But we don't stop and we really think about what that actually meant. We don't stop and actually picture how awful this would have been, to think about how awful this would have sounded. Because this sound of a nail going through wood, going through wrists, going through feet, it's the sound of my sin. And it's not just the sound of my sin, it's the sound of your sin. And it's not just the sound of my sin, it's not just the sound of your sin, it's the sound of every sin in the world on Jesus laid. All of the evil, all of the destruction, all of the mess happening in the world is like a hammer driving a nail into wood over and over and over again. This sound happened because of my brokenness and my sin. This sound happened because of your sin. This sound happened because of the world's sin. And guys, listen, I am a broken person. Me, Zach Thompson, I am a broken person. And I think about this, and I think about my own sin as like another nail in this, right? And I think about my sin, that the fact that I am a liar, and I've cheated, and I've hurt people in my life that I really care about because I'm selfish and prideful. My sin. And then I know it's not just my sin, guys. It's everyone here in this room. You know, every time you cheat on a test or you watch porn or you go to a party and you drink or you lie to your parents or you gossip about that one kid, Or you choose to judge someone else's sin. And we just drive that nail in. But then it's not just my sin, it's not just your sin, it's everything that's broken in the world. All the pain, all the suffering drives these nails in, is why Jesus had to hang on the cross. The war in Ukraine, racism in America, COVID, the other pandemic of mental health and depression and anxiety and suicide. Jesus takes all of the pain and all of the suffering, all of the things. This is broken in this world. And he takes all of this, and all of this is laid on him. But the thing is, somebody had to do something about this. Somebody had to do something about my sin. Somebody had to do something about your sin. Somebody had to do something about the world. Because you guys see it? Look at the world. It is broken. It is messed up. It is evil. Someone has to save the world from this. And here's Jesus. Jesus, thank goodness for Jesus. Gosh. He set us free. He set us free, but the truth is, And why it's important to hear the sound or to picture this thing, because it came with an awful price. And while Jesus is hanging here on the cross, it's a horrible scene. Do you see all of the things that are happening while Jesus is hanging there, dying? The soldiers, the Roman soldiers are over here. They're probably sitting off to the side. They're laughing, having a good time. They're dividing up his clothes, playing games. Like, this isn't some human being up here. And people are just passing by. Just random people are passing by. making fun of Jesus. Look at you now, Jesus. Look at you now. And then the Jewish leaders who condemn Jesus are like, he saved others, which is just mind-boggling to me. That these guys, he performed miracles, right? I thought only the Son of God can do that. But you're acknowledging right now that he saved others. And they're like, he saved others, but he can't save himself. Right? And all of them are looking just, hey, if you're the Son of God, Jesus, just come down. Just come down. And then we'll believe you. Then you can show us. All of those mocking words, you know what they sound like to me? They sound like this. A big part of me as I was reading the story, as maybe you read this story, I'm like, dang it, Jesus. They're wrong. Just prove them wrong. Just come down. Strike them dead. Prove them all wrong. If Jesus would just come down, he would heal himself, maybe strike some of these horrible people dead. Yeah, it'd probably freak them out, but then they'd believe. If Jesus would just come down, they'd believe him, and it'd all be okay. Why, Jesus, why didn't he come down? Because he chose not to. He could have come down. He's the Son of God. Jesus had done way more miraculous things than this. Cooper talked about raising Lazarus from the dead. Coming down from a cross, that's nothing to Jesus. But he chose not to. Because he knew he had to endure. He had to go through every bit of the cross. And he couldn't come down. He had to die on this thing. Jesus had to die on this. Because that was the only way out of this mess for you and for me and the rest of the world. This was the way out. If Jesus comes down, even if he shows up the Roman soldiers, even if he shows up the Jewish leaders and he's like, ha, proved you wrong, I came down. If Jesus comes down, you and I, we stay dead in our sin. You and I, we get a world that will always be broken. You and I watch as evil will get to win over and over and over again. You and I, if Jesus comes down, we don't get the promise of heaven. Guys, Jesus chose to do this very simply because he loves you and me too much. He loves us too much. The cross, I want to reiterate this, the cross is not a picture of the shame you guys probably feel when you mess up, when you sin. It's not a picture of that. The cross should show your guilt, because the truth is we are guilty. We're guilty of having sinned against God, of having committed evil, being a part of the evil in this world, succumbing to temptation. We're guilty. But guys, you should never feel shame because of what you've done. Why? Because nothing you or I do changes what Jesus did for you and for me. Shame says, I messed up. That means Jesus doesn't love me as much. Shame says, I messed up. I'm not going to heaven. Shame says, I'm too broken of a person. I've messed up too much. How in the world could Jesus love me and give me salvation? That's shame. Shame is different than guilt. Yes, I'm guilty of my sin. But nothing I have done, nothing you have done changes what Jesus did for you on the cross. The Bible says, while we were still sinners, while we were dead in our sin, Jesus died for us. Jesus died for every single one of you, and nothing you have done and nothing you will do will ever change that. You guys are sealed and secure. You get the cross no matter what. This cross changes everything for you guys. This sound of a nail changes everything for you. This God we believe in, this God who has proven himself over and over and over again, changes everything for you. Why? Because we have a God who loved us so much that he would send his only son. That whoever in this room believes in him will not die, but you'll have life forever with him in heaven. And we know that all of that is possible. Your sin is forgiven. Your sin is done with. You are loved immeasurably more than you can ever imagine by God. Nothing will ever change that. You get the promise of heaven. We know all of that because Jesus might be hanging on here for now. Jesus might have these nails driven into his wrists and his feet for now. But we know that's not how it ends. We know better. We know Easter is coming. That's the hope you rest in today. That you have a God that loves each and every one of you more than you will ever know. Guys, you get this. Not because of anything you've done, but because Jesus loves you that much. Let me pray. God, thank you. Thank you for rescuing us. Thank you for going through this pain so that we don't have to. And God, I know in this room there are people, there are students that are hurting, that are broken, that feel deep and ashamed of their sin. I pray today that this just changes everything for them. That they walk out of here with hope and with joy that we have a God that would do this for us. May we believe and may we trust in this. May we live differently because we've been saved by the power of the cross. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, everyone, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the message, we'd love it if you would join us on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. for our Eastview Students High School service. We also want to invite you to subscribe to the podcast and share it to your social media accounts. To stay up to date, check us out on Instagram at EastviewHSM and check out our Eastview Students YouTube channel. Thanks again for listening and have a great week.